Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, and we're beginning with text number 12. It's probably on the board. Tat Shradarana Munayo. Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya. Prashantyatmani Chatmanam. Bhaktya Shuta Grihitaya. Tat Shradarana Munayo. Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya. Prashantyatmani Chatmanam. Bhaktya Shuta Grihitaya. Shradarana Munayo. Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya. Ladies, touch, tut, tut. That's interesting. Let's try that again. Tut. So what does tut mean? That. So how can you remember that tut means that? Just add an H to the tut and you get a that. Tut. Shradaya, shradadana. Seriously inquisitive. Munaya. Sages. Jnana. Knowledge. Vairagya. Detachment. Yuktaya. Well equipped with. Pashanti. See. Atmani. Within himself. Cha. And. Atmanam, the Paramatma. Bhaktya, in devotional service. Shruta, the Vedas. Grihitaya, well received. Translation. I'm not going to read the purports because we're reading, I think around 6 or 7 verses. And if we read the purports, we wouldn't have time to finish. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes the absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. So how do we become seriously inquisitive? How do we become a student or a sage? Well, I got you on that one. What's that? Yeah. Well, a student is hearing, and a sage is one who's heard. So, seriously inquisitive. Shraddhana. This is a word we'll find out more and more. Shraddha means faith. But here, sad and da. Sad means the heart, and da is where we put the heart. So, according to where we put the heart, that's what our experience is. So we put our heart in Krishna consciousness, then we'll experience Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is nothing more than putting our heart in Krishna. And tat munaya jnana vairagya yuktaya. But generally, as conditioned souls, we're distracted by a material concept of life. And therefore we need knowledge, namely that we're not the body and that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the art, as Prabhupada said, focusing one's attention and then giving one's love to Krishna. So the art of focusing one's attention means we have to take our attention away from material conceptions and put them into spiritual conceptions. And those spiritual conceptions are in the Shruti. So we have to hear the Shruti. We have to try to absorb the consciousness. And one of our obstacles is that we're in anxiety. Anyone ever notice their anxiety? Well, you're laughing, so I guess not. So we're in anxiety, and because we're in anxiety, therefore, that's a symptom that we don't really know where our real shelter is. When I first came to the Hare Krishna movement, I was doing Hatha Yoga 8 hours a day, which was all right. I was a student at the University of Buffalo. I went to school in the morning, and then I had a job as a model doing Hatha Yoga. So I, for an art studio. Yeah, I was being paid for doing Hatha Yoga. I would stand in lotus for an hour, and then I'd stand on my head for half an hour, etc. It's quite interesting. And I was, when I came to the Hare Krishna movement, because one of my friends was, they had just opened a center at the university, near the university, a few blocks away. One of my friends, his name was Jeffrey Hickey. He later on became initiated as Jagadish. Now he's Jagadish Prabhu. And he told me about they had opened a center of yoga. So I thought, oh, yoga, they must be doing Hatha Yoga. He said, no, we just chant. I said, well, what good is that? I was thinking that they're singing, Mary has a little lamb, its sheep was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the sheep was sure to go. So I couldn't understand why would they bother wasting their time chanting. Later on, I found out something why they were doing it. But generally, people can't understand what good is hearing. Because by hearing, that's how we learn what to do. But as far as spiritual elevation, we can also learn by hearing how to elevate our consciousness, how to see things properly. Because here it says, Pashantyatmani Chatmanam. Unless we hear, we won't know how to act in such a way as to become purified and see Atma, the soul, and the super soul. And in the process of learning to see the soul and the super soul, we acquire knowledge and gradually detachment from the material concept of life and attachment to the spiritual concept of life. That's called vairagya. And in order to do that, we have to be seriously inquisitive. We actually have to want to put our heart into the activity. Unless we put our attention, our heart, then it's very hard to hear with any kind of attention. If we really want to remain God or goddesses, whatever we want to be in here in the material world, if we really want to remain here, we won't put our heart very much into the process of Krishna consciousness because we'll be afraid it'll take away my opportunity to become God. But if we really want to find out who Krishna is, we really want to find out who we really are, then we have to put our minds, our attentions into the activity. And the result is we'll gain knowledge. And by that knowledge, the symptom of knowledge is that we become aware of things as they are, and actually we become detached from the material concept of life and attached to the spiritual concept of life. And as we become attached to the spiritual concept of life, we're able to see that everyone is actually Krishna's servant. My friends are Krishna's servants. My enemies are Krishna's servant. The dog is Krishna's servant, although not a very good servant right now. But everyone, every living entity, somehow or another, is being moved about by the will of the Supreme, and they're able to render service to Krishna according to their present circumstances. Of course, we're told Krishna has all beauty, that he's not just like an ordinary person, that he has unlimited beauty. If someone has some ordinary beauty and they're noted for their beauty, then people go out of their way to go and see the person, even a beautiful object. People will travel thousands of miles to see an eclipse sometimes. They'll even ride on an airplane just so they can see an eclipse. Such an insignificant thing, they'll spend so much money, spend so much time. But what to speak of trying to see a person who has unlimited beauty, he has unlimited wealth, has unlimited knowledge, that we have the opportunity to actually meet him personally, if we follow the process. And Srimad Bhagavatam is like the cookbook. If you want to make a cake, then you make a cake, you can throw this in and throw that in and toss it into the oven. And you can call it a cake, but probably no one will eat it. But if we want to really make a cake, we have to follow the recipe. And then the cake will be there and it'll taste very nice. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is the process of becoming conscious of Krishna. Becoming receptive to Krishna, just like a radio. When a radio, there are so many vibrations in the air, and if you turn the dial, you know how to turn the dial very subtly, then gradually you can turn into the radio station. Similarly, in our heart, there is a transcendental television, and there is a channel called Channel Krishna. It's just a question of our trying to turn on to Channel Krishna rather than to some other channel. There are so many channels, so many vibrations going on. Some people are turning on to Channel James Bond or whatever else. We're trying to turn on to Channel Krishna. We know where the channel is. Now we simply have to turn on to it. And as we subtly adjust the channel, then we can actually perceive exactly Channel Krishna. So this text 13, Atak Pum Vira Dvija Shresta Vanashrama Vivagashaha Sunustitasya Dharmasya Samsidir Hari Toshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. So everyone has a certain psychophysical nature. Nowadays, women want to become men, and men want to become women. And maybe in between or whatever. But this doesn't seem to work out very well. That everyone, by nature, has their particular mentality, particular psychophysical nature, and the idea is not to change from one from male to female or from female to male, but to change our consciousness to spiritual consciousness. That's the only way of actually satisfying oneself. To think that to have a male body, then one is perfect, or to have a female body is perfect, whatever, it's not actually so important because we're not the body. What is important is that whatever our circumstances are, that they dedicate it to Krishna, and then the result is we'll realize that we're neither male or female. And we'll realize that the elephant is not really an elephant, the dog is not a dog, and the mosquito who is trying to bite me, he may be a mosquito. We may treat him as a mosquito, but inside ourselves we know you're an unfortunate mosquito. Unfortunate soul in that mosquito body. In any case, to see things properly, but that doesn't mean once I see things properly, necessarily then I just act as, I just treat everything the same. That now that I see everything the same, at least theoretically, now I go to the zoo and when I see the tiger, when no one's looking, I enter into the cage of the tiger and offer my obeisances and ask forgiveness for all my offenses, thinking that he was a tiger. Maybe in the case of someone like Murari Chaitanya Das, who was so elevated in consciousness, because elevated in consciousness means that he emitted a vibration, a spiritual vibration, that changed the atmosphere so much that even when he went into the forest and slapped and he found a tiger, chased after the tiger, when he caught the tiger, he'd slap its face, and the tiger would go, prrr, prrr. Because the tiger was in ecstasy. Not that he thought, well, I read in the newspaper today that Murari Chaitanya Das is a Mahabhagavat, so I better treat him very nicely. The tiger doesn't read the newspaper. He couldn't tell Murari Chaitanya Das from anyone else. But because Murari Chaitanya Das was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, therefore the atmosphere he generated was such that even the tigers were purring like a cat. When he put venomous snakes on his lap and he'd play with them. But they were actually in ecstasy. Sometimes he'd go underneath the water and chant Hare Krishna for 3 days without coming up. So if you have some extra rounds, you don't want anyone to bother you, you can follow the footsteps of Murari Chaitanya Das. But that will be the test of how elevated you are. See how many days you can stay underneath the water. So this cannot be imitated. And until we come to that platform, then we should follow our psychophysical nature. But that's not an impediment if we dedicate everything in the service of Krishna. It is not that Krishna needs anything in this world, because it's all his energy. And besides that, what kind of energy is it? It's just different varieties of material energy. Earth, water, fire, air, and on the subtle platform, mind, intelligence, and false ego. None of it is actually very attractive to either Krishna or to any person who's aware of what's the nature of the material energy. But what is attractive is the desire of the soul to please Krishna. As long as that desire is there in whatever we're doing, then Krishna is very pleased. And the more we have that desire, then the more whatever we're doing is perfect. One can do any activity in this material world, practically speaking. If it's done to please Krishna, then the result is one, Krishna becomes pleased and we become conscious of Krishna. But caste divisions, orders of life, were not created arbitrarily or whimsically. Basically speaking, the varnas, namely the different divisions, are for a number of practical things. One, to produce food. Everyone likes food, right? Yeah, so we like fruit. I mean, food. If you want to find out how many devotees are in the temple, don't come to the class, come to prasadam. That's when you can actually find out how many people are devoted, at least the prasadam. So anad bhavati bhutani. So to produce food grain, it requires some sacrifice. And sacrifice is done according to one's prescribed duty. The real sacrifice was jaga, as now. Now it's chanting Hare Krishna as a prescribed jaga. And previously there was chanting of Vedic mantras and offering ghee and different things into sacrifices, which were chanted by the Brahmins. So persons who had expertise in chanting Vedic mantras would perform the sacrifice. The Kshatriyas would arrange for the sacrifice. The Vaishyas would contribute to the sacrifice. And the Shudras would participate in the sacrifice and assist the others in doing their whatever was necessary to arrange it. But everything was based on sacrifice. And by Jaga by Vishnu, then the rain would come. The right amount of rain, just like they just had some storm in America called Sandy. But Sandy was not a very... There was rain, certainly they got rain, but they got the amount of rain they deserved, which was a little too much. So ati, too much, or alpa, too little, neither one of them is good, but the right rain at the right time, then the grains will grow. And when the grains would grow and people would have food, they'd be satisfied. And they could actually think about Krishna without thinking about their stomach. Therefore, varna is meant to so that we get something to eat. When we get something to eat, then we can live comfortably. And of course, then there's ashram. As soon as we get something to eat, then if we eat too much, then the tendency is to sleep. And after we wake up, everyone and everything looks beautiful. And then we get into difficulty. So too much eating, and then too much sleeping, then that sex life, too much sex life, and then the result is that we become full of anxiety and everyone is out to get us. Therefore, ashram is there so things are regulated. The Shudras, there is some regulation. They don't eat cows, at least. They may eat some lower animal, but they're, especially the eating has to be regulating. The Vaishyas, they protect the cow, although they may eat very opulently. Because there's plenty of ghee. If you protect the cow, then there's plenty of ghee. And previously, there are no vegans, at least not amongst the Vaishyas. But it was all nice, happy cows giving nice, happy milk, and happy people were drinking the milk. And they became more happy. And then there was the Kshatriyas. They were working hard, fighting, whatever. Therefore, they had a nice appetite. And they were eating prasad offered in sacrifice. Sometimes they'd eat other lower living entities, but they would be offered in sacrifice. But the Brahmins, they would be strictly following the vegetarian diet offered to Krishna and eating just what was necessary, trying to become eating as little as possible and concentrating their consciousness upon Krishna as much as possible. So as you go up the ashrams, generally speaking, people become more and more regulated and austere and focusing their consciousness more and more into Krishna consciousness. It's not so much what our designation is, it's actually a question of how much detachment we have, especially from eating. If we're not detached from eating, we won't be detached from sleeping or mating or defending. Because everything begins with the tongue. So ashrams were regulation of the tongue and other organs of the body. And gradually, as we regulate the tongue, as we speak about Krishna, as we eat Krishna prasadam, then we're able to focus the mind upon Krishna. Especially the tongue, because the tongue is the vehicle by which we lord it over the material nature at the beginning. Everyone has come here to lord it over the material nature. And even if no one else in this world is surrendered to us, the carrot on our plate is offering full dandavats, completely surrendered unto us, willing to enter into us, merge into us, surrendered itself completely, and empower us to eat more carrots and potatoes tomorrow. So the tongue, the tongue wants to lord it over the material nature and enjoy material nature. And the tongue and the genitals, they have a direct connection with each other. It's just different types of ways of tasting the material nature and enjoying it. So if one wants to get over this tendency to enjoy and exploit the material nature, control it, then one has to utilize the tongue by tasting Krishna prasadam and appreciating it as an act of devotion. Then it transforms that mentality of trying to lord it over the material nature and enjoy it to service to Krishna. Therefore, it's advised the tongue should be only eating Krishna prasadam with love, and similarly, even the genitals should be tasting only in order to for service to Krishna, to produce living entities to bring up to help them become Krishna conscious. Therefore, ashram, vana ashram is there to help us gradually make progress towards doing our activities simply as an act of devotion to please Krishna. Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. I won't even read the Sanskrit, we're running a little late. With sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots, reactionary work, karma, by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? Our heart is compared to a knot in conditioned life because it's full of, there's a hole, just a lot of desires inside that knot. And it's quite entangled. We can't even figure out where it begins and where it ends. It's like the banyan tree. It's very hard to figure out what's in that knot. And every once in a while, all these different desires just arise out of that knot. And we're just like amazed. I didn't even think I could even think like that. One moment we think we're in Vaikuntha, and the next moment, you know, the Yamadutas are running away from us. They don't want to get contaminated by our association. So in that knot, there's so many reactions that are just like bija and kuta and different types of reactions. What is that called? Parabdha and aparabdha karma. And it's all based on avidya, ignorance. Because when these desires arise up, then we become entangled in them. We become attracted to them. We're very subtle. We have a subtle mind. We have a spiritual mind and intelligence. And therefore, it's very easy for us to become absorbed and entangled in the illusory desires that arise from our knotted up materialistic mind. But if we remember the personality of Godhead, if we remember Krishna, somehow or another, we can rise above all these different entanglements offered by the material nature. Only by taking shelter of Krishna will we not become entangled in some kind of material concept of life. Only as we become more and more conscious of Krishna, as we enter into the atmosphere of actually associating with Krishna, then everything else is considered tuchavat, insignificant. Because material nature can only promise that if you utilize your body or your mind and your words in this way, then you're going to enjoy in this way. But if we're actually enjoying in association with Krishna, we won't become distracted by the promises of happiness offered by the material nature. So who's actually intelligent will not cut through all these entanglements by remembering Krishna? And here's an important verse. Shushusha Sharadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Saivaya Vipra Punya Tirtani Shevanat. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service one gains affinity by hearing the messages of Vasudeva. And Prabhupada writes here, Sharadanasya, again we're back to this word Sharadanasya. And Prabhupada says, with great care and attention. Whatever we're doing, it should be done with care and attention. Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam pritipurvakam didami buddhiyogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted. So what is that constant? We have care and we have attention. And we have constantly devoted and worshiping me with love. So how are they related to each other? Anyone knows? What is care? What is that related to? No, I'm using an example. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 10:10, those who are constantly devoted and who worship me. And here he says, with care and attention. So what's the care? Is it constantly devoted or worshiping Krishna with love? With love, yes, it's worshiping with love. Same thing in that verse, Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma davritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Anukulyena, to please Krishna, care, constantly worshiping Krishna with love. It's the same thing, just said in a different way. And constantly devoted attention. If we don't become distracted, if we pay attention, then we'll be able to do it with attention. Constantly devoted and attention. And that means we should only work, do what Krishna wants us to do. As soon as we do what Krishna doesn't want us to do, then we become distracted by the illusory energy. Therefore, if we're doing some service, it should be done with care. It should be done to please Krishna. And it should be done with attention. Attention to how our acharyas have asked us to do that activity. We should do it very nicely according to their directions, and we should do it very carefully to please Krishna. And that's why we're hearing. That's why it says, Machita Machkata Prana Bodhiantash Parashparam Katayantas Pram Mamnityam Tu Shanti Charamanticha. To those who are constant, the thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me, their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So that's why we're having the class. So we can learn how to hear with the attitude of service. This is the su means nicely, and shu-shu-sho means to hear with the attitude of service, not to hear as a recreation, but to hear how to render better service to Krishna. With more carefully, more attentively, we render that service. And therefore, when we first hear how to see things in relationship to Krishna, how to perform service to Krishna, to please Krishna, then we become tushanti. Our heart becomes purified, as our material desires decrease, as we become free from the material concept of life, we feel satisfied because we know I'm actually going to become eternal, realize my eternality soon. I'm going towards the platform of liberation where there's no more anxiety. I don't have to worry about the future anymore. I don't have to worry about the impending death of this body or anyone else's body. I don't have to worry about all the horrible things happening in this world because I'll be aware of reality. Therefore, one becomes tushanti. One becomes satisfied that one is actually making progress towards a happy goal of life, where we can actually live happily ever after. And when one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then just by hearing about Krishna, one gets Krishna's direct association, and then there's ramanti. There's simply unlimited varieties of pleasure that one is experiencing. If we hear with care and attention, if we hear with the attitude of service, and we perform it with care and attention, then we develop kataruchi, a taste for hearing. And then how is that rendered? How is that developed? The last verse, Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirti Nishevana. By serving those who actually have that taste, like Srila Prabhupada, who's actually realized Krishna, and therefore Prabhupada didn't talk about other things. He only talked about how to become Krishna conscious. And he knew perfectly well by experience how every one of us, according to our level of present advancement, can gradually make more advancement and develop this kataruchi, a taste for hearing about Krishna. And now we'll start with the Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyantakstoya Bhajani Viduno Tisaritsitam. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the Super Soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. If we just try to hear and chant, then gradually our hearts will become cleansed. If we try to chant offenselessly Hare Krishna, then we'll make some progress. It doesn't mean that automatically Krishna is going to come before us and start dancing, playing on his flute. But if we make an effort, then Krishna will see that effort and he'll cleanse our heart and we'll be able to understand how to chant better. Prabhupada said, good chanting, what does it lead to? It leads to better chanting. And as we chant better and better and better, then we'll be able to experience more and more of the Krishna's presence and the spiritual atmosphere we'll be able to experience. So this is just at the beginning. Anyone who takes the process of hearing about Krishna, chanting also means to put into practice what we've heard. It is said, actions speak louder than words. Because his body is just another vibration, ultimately speaking. Material nature is just a vibration. It was spoken by Krishna in the form of Om, and it manifested itself in subtle and gross aspects. So this body is just like is a different kind of vibration, and service is a prayer to Krishna. Devotional service is a type of prayer. Actually, everyone is praying to Krishna because everyone simply has the capacity to desire, and Krishna is answering that desire in the form of activities in this material world. So when we pray to Krishna, when we're desiring to please Krishna, it's manifested itself in the form of this body performing service to Krishna. And as we perform nicer and nicer service, then we remember Krishna more and more, and that's the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Now when we utilize this body in order for our sense gratification, then we become covered, and when we utilize it for Krishna's service, then we become uncovered. So, we have 5 minutes. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Can actually hear the silence. Yes. Pali Portugués. Puedes hablar en Portugués, probablemente yo pueda entender. Yo hablo español. Sí. ¿Dónde está este, dónde este templo? Monterrey. ¿Tiendo dónde está Monterrey? ¿Monterrey qué país? A México. Sí. Sí, sí. Es una pregunta muy larga. ¿Es una pregunta o una historia? ¿Es una pregunta? He's asking that we broadcast Krishna consciousness in Latin America. Okay. Está bien. Está bien. Thank you very much. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.